Hello, and I'm Annika Wills, and I played Polly in Doctor Who in 1966, and you are listening to Gallifrey Public Radio.
This is Gallifrey Public Radio, a weekly podcast dedicated to positive enjoyment of Doctor Who. We travel through classic and new episodes, explore the extended universe, and play a few games from time to time. We do discuss news, content that has been officially released, and the occasional interesting rumor, but we'll warn you before anything considered spoilers comes up.
Welcome to episode 411 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where it's open house day in the TARDIS. So wipe your feet, sign in, help yourself to some light refreshments, and please don't use the bathrooms unless absolutely necessary. Sorry, it's company policy. I'm Julie.
I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay. And this week, we're testing that whole bigger on the inside theory by considering some locations within our Type 40 that haven't necessarily appeared on screen, but could be a heck of a lot of fun if they did.
So, we know our TARDIS console room pretty well, and have even seen a few companions' personal rooms in a handful of stories, like Romana's, whom we were remarking on most recently during our Season 18 rewatch.
So, Amy and Rory had their own room, you know, albeit with bunk beds, and it was during the 11th Doctor's era that we got to see rooms like the famed and, quite frankly, massive library.
There are also a few unusual rooms we saw in both Classic and New Who, like the wardrobe room and even the pool, where it can be said that both Leela and River Song have taken a plunge.
And of course, we have the more functional or practical rooms, like the cloister room, and even, well, the Eye of Harmony, depending on who you ask. But what about the unseen corners of this huge and, frankly, dynamic ship interior? So what else could be waiting behind the next closed door? This whole idea came to mind because we had heard Jack make a reference in the New Year's episode that he wanted to know if his room was still there. Doctor questioned that he ever had a room. He retorted that he had a suite, very indignantly. And, well, my mind was off to the races. I think we've sort of pondered little things about this before, because we saw episodes like Journey to the Center of the TARDIS, where there was I think Clara took an unexpected tour. We got a view of a bunch of things.
Yep, and we've been in that library since.
Yep, we've been in that library since. There was a really strong episode with the 12th Doctor where that library came into great importance. We haven't really seen any interior rooms other than the control room in the 13th Doctor's era, have we?
I don't think so.
Not that I can recall, no.
Yeah, everything happens in there, from you know, Kerblam deliveries to everything. It all takes place in there. We've had even things like as mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, that were both classic and new touch points, like the wardrobe room. It was rather, I guess you could say, kind of crowded and disheveled during the Sixth Doctor's era when he was back there rummaging through various things. But when we saw it again, I think in a 10th and Rose story, it was really voluminous. It was like you could tell, it almost as if there were rooms off of the room, like maybe they were changing rooms or something, I don't know. But thinking back historically, what were some of the ones that struck you as the first time you saw it, you thought, oh, okay, this is a bigger ship because there's this other stuff to it? What comes to mind?
I mean, the first one that usually comes to mind for me is the Zero Room.
Fifth Doctor era.
Yeah. We haven't hit yet in our rewatch, but we'll get there.
I think I recall it wasn't a mess hall or anything, but there was a food replicator kind of thing in the First Doctor's era, something that that they were using for I was waiting for the Jetson pellets, the food pellets
right,
popping out of the thing. But all right, well, so what we decided to do is we were going to come up with some lists of rooms that we thought would be an interesting, I don't want to say addition, because there's no saying that it isn't there already. In fact, we mentioned that Journey to the Center of the TARDIS, there's a point where there's like something up on the screen that's a list of rooms, even ones that we haven't actually seen, but that were accounted for on screen, that you could have a field day with. But if we wanted to say, hey, you know, maybe in an episode coming down the pike, it would be super cool if we got a chance to see that the TARDIS had such and such, right? So we each came up with a handful of these, and we'll kind of go around the room here and see what we've come up with. So, Jay, I'm going to give you first crack at this and tell us what you think you found behind the next door you've come across, and why you think it might make a good addition to Televised Who.
The first thing that popped into my head, and the thing I have not been able to shake, is the zero gravity room. Whether it's, you know, Ender's Game style battle school stuff going on in there, or just dry swimming, or whatever function that they can come up with for it, there is a room that has zero gravity that, you know, it's whatever you want to do in there. If it's Ready Player One style discotheque, that's your room for it.
Got it. Okay. Julie, what have you got as the first crack at your now scene inside the TARDIS?
So it's funny that Jay mentioned the anti-grav room first, because a couple of mine had elements of anti-grav in, but I think the one that I'd be most excited about is a self-contained ballroom that is anti-grav, that you can do a setting so that the balls are either specifically dry, but they feel like those wet,
those little
gel beads, so yeah. You could like moosh through them. I just think that would be so much fun. Gross. If you just need a hug, you would turn it into like a fluffy Tribble-esque, like,
oh my god,
that you could just like jump in and just be hugged. And I feel like that would be a very fun room to,
from all directions.
Yeah, just you float anti-grav style, but it goes against all real science in any way.
Sure. Well, fill an anti-grav room with tribbles. That's only going to feel one way.
Right. Yeah. So, but I'm just thinking that would be.
I'm not saying that's a good way either.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm just thinking that also, if you're super frustrated and need to work through some stuff, and you're just surrounded by sort of resistant those balls, and you just start wiggling and shoving, you would get a lot of anger and energy out and not have to go anywhere.
I'm cool with that. Yeah. I thought about, it's not necessarily an anti-grav thing, and it's not, Jay, you had mentioned actually the Zed room that the Fifth Doctor used as sort of a recovery, when it was almost like a sensory deprivation tank. It was like the complete opposite of what Julie wants to be touched by tribbles or you know, swimming in a sea of gel balls. But I thought about the idea of actually sort of a sports rehabilitation room, complete with sauna and that sort of thing, or maybe ice baths or who knows what, because the amount of running and physical toil that maybe not necessarily just the doctor has to deal with, but everyone else in tow, there during downtimes, there has to be a lot of recovery, and just taking a little nap may not be enough. I think you might have to stretch some things out, or you know, get some PT in. So I think there needs to be.
Now, question on that: is there a computer doctor of some sort that's like actually giving you analysis on stuff?
It's
not a hologram.
Okay. No, it's the living flesh version of the doctor.
It can't be, because otherwise there would be a constant companion available, and there is not.
Okay.
So it has to be something that's not actively human-esque, I think.
Oh, okay. So it has to be like some sort of what do they call them? What were the stim droids that ran the Bacta tanks? Jay, help me out here. Star Wars reference. I can't remember the codes for them.
Right. No, but that wasn't it either. But yeah,
not the IG series. Something different. But yeah, but yeah, I just thought that something to deal with the aches and pains at the end of the day. So, okay. Haley, what have you got to add to the TARDIS rooms?
So I was thinking that one of those little rooms off of the wardrobe room might be the trinket annex, where the doctor can just go in and fill his or her pockets with whatever they think they might need for the upcoming adventures. You know, yo-yos, spoons, bits of string, whatever.
I would love to hear the thought process when, you know, you've got some adventure coming up. Doctor's planning out, all right, we got to go to the planet, you know, Cacrafoon and do this, that, and the other thing. I'm going to need that kazoo. Rubik's Cube and that kazoo, that wad of used apple cinnamon gum and that thing and that thing. What is that shopping list?
Because it would look very different from the Boondock Saints scene where they're in there with weapons, but in the Doctor's mind, it's still like useful stuff.
I would like to think it's like the exact same thing. Like you hit something and a panel opens up, but instead of guns, it's like random junk.
Yeah.
And you see the Doctor like stretch out a yo-yo string, like, I don't know, cock a harmonica.
Ooh, the pendulum off an old grandfather clock. Perfect.
It's kind of like excellent. Wally's collection. They're not as organized.
Oh, perfectly organized. Well, I don't know. Would it be really organized or would it just be like tchotchke chaos? Mm,
it would go through phases.
Depends on the doctor, yeah.
Yeah, I get that. True. Yep. Or the TARDIS's mood, because the TARDIS is the one actually really in control of all the redecoration, right?
Which depends on the doctor. So
right.
If the doctor's personality is going to be a little bit messy, then you lose a few drawers or you lose a few shelves and they become drawers. You have to dig through.
I don't know. That leads to a bigger question. Is the TARDIS giving the Doctor what they want or what they need? So are there steering corrections along the way? Look, I know you're a hot mess.
The TARDIS can't just have like a super organized system for a Doctor that is chaos, because it doesn't matter how good the system is when you introduce chaos.
Or is it the only thing that's holding the chaos in check? I don't know. This is a larger philosophical question. Jay, what's the next room you got?
So I cannot believe that with a structure like the TARDIS, that there is not somewhere on there that there is a holodeck. Like, full Star Trek style, like, you program in what you want to see for, you know, experimentation or recreation or whatever it is. Like, there has to be a room that's just like, I need to see what happens if.
Yeah, absolutely. I had the same thing on my list, so I'll cross that out. That made my night a little easier. Julie, what else you got?
So, not exactly the same as that, but I would imagine that there has to be an observatory similar to an IMAX. So you've got a dome that you can watch whatever videos you like, but specifically so that you can pull up the night skies of thousands of different worlds.
All right. I will cross out planetarium on my list.
But it's not specific to just planets. It would be more like you can see all of that, but you could also like play the IMAX movie if you wanted to.
Anything narrated by Sigourney Weaver, that's all totally fine. Sure.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Or David Attenborough.
Of course.
Also be fine. Or, and also you have to make sure that you get the Dolby sound check. So it's bong. Bong.
No, screw that. I want the whole like THX sound.
Jay, you're gonna have to say that whole thing over again because Julie would not stop in the middle of her THX.
No, that's exactly it. I want the THX sound in a room like that.
It echoes around the TARDIS and the Doctor yells at whoever's watching, "Will you turn that down?
Skip ahead 25 seconds. Just hit the skip button." All right. I want to see an old school arcade.
Oh God, yes.
And I'm not talking necessarily video games, although that could be there too, but I really think that there's something to be said for like an old boardwalk seaside town kind of arcade with skee ball and crane games. Mm-hmm. You know, you want a new vortex manipulator, Jack? You got to put a quarter into the slot and you got to try to get the thing out of there with the claw that can't even pick up lint.
Yeah, it's only got the two TARDIS good arms.
It's the TARDIS's way of punishing the Doctor by taking some of the junk from that other room and putting it in there to be like, "You want it back? Come on."
Yep, you got to earn it. Yep, hand-eye coordination. Let's go. But just, I mean, I think back to what I know of some of those old seaside arcades and some of the weird things that were in there. There was the coin push games where you drop a coin in, it falls down, it pushes all the other coins. And can you imagine that? Here's your connection to your tchotchke room, or your tchotchke closet, or whatever you want to call it. Is that in order to get something out of there, you got to earn the tickets from the games, and you got to stuff a fistful of tickets a la Dave and Buster's into the slot in order to get your yo-yo.
So there's actually much more useful stuff in there. The doctor just hasn't earned enough tickets.
Exactly. The doctor is supposed to have a phenomenal tool set, but they're so crap at skee ball that all they've got is a yo-yo and a bag of candy. And yeah, I like that. All right, Haley, what else you got?
I have a breakfast nook on here. But I like to think that, like, Rory and Amy used to go there all the time just for a little private time, and the doctor doesn't know it's there because the doctor thinks brunch is too boring to go to.
Mm. So specifically a breakfast nook?
Yeah.
Like nothing fuller?
Well, I'm sure there's also a full dining room, but just I'd like to think that there's a little breakfast nook that's a little cozier.
I like that. And specifically something that the doctor does not know is there. So it's
or knew a long time ago and then completely forgot.
Yeah.
Because
the third doctor used to go there and has since forgotten that it was there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's where he would have his pint and peanuts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jay, third round. What do you got?
So this might be wishful thinking on my part just because I would love to find this room at some point, but like a fully decked out room for tabletop RPGs. Like, you have the massive table with the sunken, like, display screen on it, the bookshelves with every type of tabletop role-playing game. There is buckets and barrels full of dice. Like, the whole thing is decked to the nines, and the doctor is still trying to find somebody to add to his party so that he can actually play them for once.
Has to be insufferable trying to play tabletop game with a doctor.
Yeah.
As far as just the decision-making process.
Right.
Is the doctor the DM, in which case no one can outthink that?
There's no way. No. No. Probability is just not on your side. But even down to something like you enter a room. Which time? The first time. First time for me or first time for me? Wait, what? Have I been here before? I don't know. What frustrated DMs, just a long line of frustrated DMs. I can't work with this person. All right. Julie, what else you got?
I am thinking that you cannot have any TARDIS without a crafts room. So doctor's running around and rips a little hole in a sleeve, you have to have a sewing machine to be able to fix that. You don't necessarily have time to go to a tailor in every time.
Yeah.
You've got some cool fabrics in there. And then if you're bored because, you know, you just haven't had something to do recently, then you've also got an origami folding table and, I don't know, whatever other kinds of crafts and things that the doctor feels into and finds in all these different worlds, but definitely a crafts room.
Doctor is definitely crafty. You think about didn't they make the big shiny red button machine and Doctor made the machine that goes bing, the wibbly wobbly, the timey wimey detector.
The Doctor made the TARDIS.
True, yeah. Yep.
And 13th made her own.
Yep, schmelted her own.
Schmelted her own. Her I mean, own Sonic. You could even have a full-on schmelter in this one if you wanted.
Oh, yeah, there's
to.
A forge in there somewhere.
There's a forge. Sure. Like, yeah, go big. It could have a turntable. It's got a forge. It's
glass-blowing ovens.
Glass-blowing.
All right.
You can glaze pottery. You can...
sure, of course. Yeah, the mug collection in the TARDIS kitchen has got
to
be...
What else can you give to people when you stop it? I mean, any gifts that are given along the way here and there? Definitely.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, you can only hand out so many commemorative pens.
Right.
It's true. I thought of something that... I don't know if this it has much of an entertainment factor, but I thought of it from a practical nature, and that's a greenhouse of some sort. And this is kind of separate from what I was thinking about the kitchen and just making sure that you've got supplies of fresh fruit and veg and that sort of thing, although that's perfectly valid. But Fifth Doctor always had a fresh piece of celery attached, and that had to come from somewhere. So I'm thinking that there might have been a greenhouse going
rows
on.
Rows and rows of celery and nothing else?
Sure. Oh, yeah. There was one grow bed that was entirely hydroponic celery.
During his era, the door to that got much closer.
Yeah, the TARDIS moved that up real close to the console room. But yeah, I just thought it would have other practical uses too, because, you know, some sort of botanical studies and things like that, because all these planets where there are these attack plants and such, you got to know how to handle these things, you know? So
the more friendly plants are up towards the front, and then as you go further back, the more dangerous ones so that you can
we don't gear go back up there
so you're ready to...
You notice how the lights get dimmer and dimmer as you go to the back? Yeah, we try not to give them too much light. They get uppity. All right. Haley, what you got for your third round of rooms?
Just a catnap room. You don't always want to go to bed, but sometimes you need a little break after a long adventure. So you go in here and there's like big comfy chairs and comfy couches and throw blankets everywhere. And it's just temperature to get nice and cozy. Take a little nap.
Without being in the floating tribble room. Got it. Right. Okay.
When you don't want to be smothered to death by tribbles.
They're kind. It's not like they're squished in there. There's room to move.
It's not a malicious smothering. It just happens because there's a lot of tribbles.
Yeah, you have to wear a helmet when you go in that room.
Yeah, the hair in my eyes. Oh my God. Just be clawing at my contacts all day. Well, we laid out plans for ourselves to do three rounds of these and got through those, but does anybody have any other standouts that they thought might be honorable mentions they'd like to throw in the list as well?
Oh, yeah. No, I absolutely have one that I refuse to believe that the doctor would ever actually let anything really go extinct. So I think that there is a menagerie of all kinds of last of their kind. If it's dodo birds or, you know, whatever he can find across the cosmos that, you know, is the last of their kind about to go extinct kind of thing, he has them collected just so that, because he understands that weight. So, yeah.
With the exception of the face of Bo.
Oh. Too soon?
Yeah. Apparently. I get that. That's kind of a, not necessarily a Fantastic Beasts kind of thing, but along those lines. I get that. All right. Anybody else? Honorable mentions?
No, the ones I didn't use weren't as good.
I thought about the doctor's driving skills and the fact that only the Root Doctor has shown that they can actually maintain adequate driving of vehicles other than the TARDIS, and even that is questionable. So,
the Third Doctor drove.
The Third Doctor also got his hands on just about anything. I don't know if it was necessarily always great driving or just a, watch, I've never driven one of these before, give me the keys kind of thing. But I thought something like either a bumper car arena... or a simple go-kart track. And my mind immediately goes to 11th Doctor because you just want to see a helmet on Matt Smith's head all the time. But yeah, I think a go-kart track would be something also quite cathartic for... Well, actually, the bumper car arena would be really nice catharsis for the companions.
True.
To be able to smack the hell out of the Doctor after a particularly rough turn of events.
I see when Matt Smith is driving in either version of those, and he looks over his shoulder and just turns, like a toddler riding a bike. Just, what? Oh, it starts going that way.
Yeah, handlebars go whichever way the face is pointing. Yeah, for sure. Cool. Well, I honestly don't know whether we're going to get to see any additional rooms in the 13th Doctor era, because we don't really spend a whole lot of time in the TARDIS as a vessel. It's really just a place of respite.
And a launch pad, sort of, like,
yeah.
Regroup and then everyone go your separate ways.
Right, right. And there aren't even, because everything sort of drifts into darkness behind a lot of those hex panels, you don't really even get the impression that anything goes out beyond that other than your main entryway, right? It doesn't even have that sort of look. It just drifts into darkness back there. So, I don't know. I don't even know if that's something that's kind of in the scope of what they'd want to do. Not even knowing the storyline.
It makes the struggle very internal.
That is true. Yeah.
And we've already done a lot of that with the TARDIS versus Clara. And you saw a lot of development over the relationship between Matt Smith's Doctor and the TARDIS itself. Mm-hmm. So it's not to say that there's not more to explore, but... it has been done more recently, and a lot of the Doctor's current struggles are external to the TARDIS. So if you start opening up those rooms, other than perhaps like a quick shot of, you know, one of the companions' rooms where they are and a conversation they have that doesn't need to be outside the TARDIS, I feel like there's not really a need for it. So why invent something completely new than just have it in the main console room?
My only thought is, like, we know that this doctor in particular is going to be trying to figure out her roots, who she is and where she came from. What if she's trying to find like older parts of the TARDIS?
That could be kind of cool.
And going like back into, you know, the history of the Time Lords and the development of the TARDISes by finding the oldest parts of it.
Closed off sections or sections that were hidden or disused, and the TARDIS knowing the doctor opens them back up or puts them back in the forefront to be mm-hmm. rediscovered. I don't know. I guess it could be done. But then I think by the same token, they might just follow suit with what they've been doing and put the information up on screen in the console. And it's just a matter of doing data research rather than actual physical research.
Yeah, they spent a lot of money on that console room. They're not going to build anything else.
They did. Yeah, heads-up displays aren't cheap, kids.
True.
Yeah.
But I really like that idea, Haley, of it being a search for where did I come from and finding some of those rooms that maybe they used to use and they don't anymore. Mm-hmm. Or... it was a footnote somewhere on a list, and you go, what is this? And then it opens up where I've been here before, I need to learn more.
Right.
Or even just simply, like, she needs to find her old recorder that she used to have when she was in her second iteration. I don't even know what time is anymore.
The numbers don't even matter anymore.
Is time?
She just goes hunting through the TARDIS because she really wants to find that recorder because it's going to help her figure this problem out. And the whole time she's just monologuing, like, you know, working through the problem in her head.
That is true. That could be something. I mean, that could be the catalyst for the search. Something where, you know, trying to work something through mentally. And if you've got, it's like somebody's got their worry stone, right? And they need that object in hand or in mouth if it's the recorder, in order to sort of suss something out or think something through. And you feel blocked until you can find it. And a good chunk of the episode is just going from opening a door. Nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. As they're trying to puzzle this out. Mm-hmm. That'd be kind of fun too.
Yeah.
And then you get that very Gandalf moment of, I've been here before.
I would love to see the doctor open up a door and the Balrog sitting there like, you know, on the toilet with a newspaper and looks over, huh?
Or maybe like an old companion that she forgot was still on the TARDIS.
God, that's how you bring back one of the classic companions.
Yeah.
Did you get that cameo?
Yeah. But it's been time locked, so they're the same age. Or
no, it could be Ace, because we never saw her departure.
That is true, yeah.
She's just there. Mm-hmm.
Could be Chameleon the Android.
She'd be down for it, too. You know that.
That's where Frobisher the Penguin is. All right. Run off with that idea. Single item of the news this week, just something interesting. I wouldn't even call it news, but it's something that comes from the news cycle, and it's just an interesting thought exercise, I guess you could say. And it was based on a recent interview with Russell T. Davies, where they were, you know, again, as always, they're never going to – they're talking to him about his current series, which is going great guns and well-received, and they ask him about Doctor Who because – what else are you going to do? It's Russell T. Davies sitting in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And had an interesting thing to say about, it was a sort of I don't even want to call it a shoulda, woulda, coulda, but a what if thought from Russell about what he would do with the show, given the way people are consuming content and specifically complex universes of content within the science fiction and fantasy realm right now. So... Haley, this starts to drift kind of into your wheelhouse a little bit in being, he makes a strong reference to the MCU and its ties into televised material on Disney Plus. Jay, this also taps you for Star Wars. Julie, all of our related interests to that and Trek and everything, and saying you could take any one of these or even a handful of other franchises where they are really, intentionally going into the weeds on characters and stories. How does that kind of idea strike you about if Doctor Who was approached that way?
Well, I think you would basically take all of Big Finish and make all of those stories a TV show.
Yeah.
Seems to kind of be the direction he's going. And we could all have a new streaming service, Doctor Who Plus. It'd be great.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely want the Doctor Who cinematic universe because, I mean, let's be honest, canon in Doctor Who has always been a loose term anyway, So you can get away with a lot of stuff.
I think back to how well the Sarah Jane Adventures did and some of, I mean, I enjoyed Class. I think it was a, I think it was a one season thing, but I enjoyed it. And technically Torchwood, I mean, they're the same universe, but they, everything that I've seen has been successful and I would love to see more. And I think that Haley's exactly right with the stories that come from Big Finish, the creativity that you can have if you get people who are willing to take a little bit of a different leap because it's not part of this showrunner's plan to get from here to here. I think it opens a lot of doors and I would watch it all.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and you know, on these streaming services, you get a lot of limited run stuff. So it's easier to, I think, get your actors back for something like that. So, you know, you have a Paternoster Gang 8-part series and then you do, you know, a unit thing. And
yeah,
you know, I don't know what else. Tons of stuff.
It may not be as complex as some of the stuff that Big Finish has the liberty to do because of the fact that they can take actors from many different eras and allow them to be able to work in voice at the same time. But
we've said it before, though, you could also do a little bit more animation.
Yeah.
And I don't think that would go amiss at all if you get some of the creative styles that have seen more recently.
Yeah.
And then you can put those people back together if you wanted to, or send them somewhere else that you could never have a budget to make or the time to have someone need noggle it, but you can draw it.
For those listening at home, Julie has just dropped a reference to The Good Place, where the the computer generated designer David Need Noggle made all the impossible things happen on screen and became a verb in the process.
I want to see like a Homestar Runner style cartoon version of...
Oh, just flash animation?
Yeah.
You could do the Doctor when he was young and the Master when they were young and you just them together and there would be... There's so much you could explore with that and create the world of Gallifrey and...
Saved by the Cloister Bell. Oh, that's a horrible...
Go back in time and give us the stories of Rassilon.
Oh, geez.
Or the adventures of the meddling monk.
Yes.
Oh, the meddling monk.
Because here's the thing, and this was kind of Russell's point, was that these platforms are throwing immense amounts of money at ideas. You know, they're green lighting projects that at any other point, I think, in our recent entertainment industry history, they would never part with that kind of cash. But we've heard it from, you know, we've got mutual friends of ours who have worked in the filming and editing and things that have said specifically with these streaming platforms, they are very loose with their wallets and are willing to give a lot of things a shot. You know, Netflix throws a lot of ideas out there and one shot wonders just to see how it does, because they never know when they're going to come across the next viral water cooler conversation series that maybe didn't cost them quite so much, but their returns on it. Well, actually, I don't know how Netflix makes its money. I honestly don't know how that.
Back in my day, they sent us DVDs.
Yeah, I think I still have one of them around someplace. I probably owe them quite a bit. But so I guess to kind of wrap that up, it's a matter of Russell had said that, you know, if he were running the show 10 or 15 years later, that he would pitch this sort of a multifaceted approach to the universe, right? And see how far he could get the BBC to run with it. My closing question to you all is, based on what you've seen and what you know of this, what do you think, would the BBC ever want to attempt to do something like this? This is a broadcasting corporation that has lived with four channels for a long time.
It might not be just the BBC. We know they've got some sort of partnership now with HBO. True. HBO Max, I'm sure, would love to have another, you know, streaming only series that, you know, they have the rights to that's going to bring in a new audience.
HB Dr. Go.
HBO Max is one of the few streaming platforms that I have not decided to drop a dime on yet. which is so funny because it's one of the only places left where people can actually watch Doctor Who, which is going to be a whole other conversation we're going to have in the weeks ahead about the fact that, you know, are these decisions about access to the show actually hurting the show irrevocably?
Well, didn't we already have that conversation, though?
I think it's getting a little bit more serious.
We've had that conversation every time it's moved to a different platform.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I guess my question is, Jay, do you have HBO Max? Haley, I know you do.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do they have their own? I know obviously HBO has its own series. Are there ones that are only on Max?
Yeah, so the stuff that's only on Max versus standard HBO, it tends to be some of the licensed stuff. So like, I don't know, like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Torchwood actually, I think is part of Max only.
So, but there's nothing that they've produced.
No, I think all of their original series is available on any HBO thing. So if I think they still don't have an agreement with Roku, maybe. I know they finally got one with Fire, because that's what I have in my living room, that you can finally get the Max app. But
they don't have anything strictly their own, because I think if you have a subscription to HBO, you automatically get HBO Max for free.
But it's what you can actually stream the content on. So you could you could use it on your computer or your phone, but if you had a Roku device on your TV, you couldn't stream the Max content on that.
Actually, you can now. They fixed
it. Oh, did they finally fix it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only reason I even know anything about it, is because they now have it fixed. And the only things that I've found on there are when I go onto the Roku and I search, where is this streaming? And it pops up with HBO Max. I'm like, fine, I'll watch it on that now. I don't go on there to search for anything.
They're grabbing quite a lot. They got a lot of titles at this point.
Yeah, so they have, like, all of the CW DC shows are on Netflix, except for Batwoman, which is on HBO Max.
Huh.
Yeah.
Maybe because of just the really recent nature of it. It's one of the most...
Because they had, like, a big agreement with Warner Brothers, and the other ones are still on, like, an old Netflix CW agreement. So probably eventually all of the DC content will end up on HBO Max.
Gotcha. So it's going to be HBO versus Disney in a big showdown in a few years, and there's Hulu running up behind. Wait, guys, wait.
Well, no, they'll roll Hulu into Disney.
Oh, yeah, I could see that happening.
But no, guys, Paramount Plus now, so they'll totally compete.
Oh, for crying out loud.
It's going to be the Sharks and the Jets, and there's going to be a lot of finger snapping.
Yeah, see you in the gym floor.
So next week, we're going to be going back to our Torchwood rewatch with the episode Something Borrowed. And this is the episode where Gwen and Reese actually get married, correct?
Yes, but because she bumped up against some sort of psycho alien, she's Pergananant.
I'm not going to continue that, but I know where you're going.
I remember this one being a riot.
Pergante.
I don't remember anything about this one. I really don't.
I remember what I saw on the next time on.
Exactly that, yes.
I will rely on this. This finally gets me back into, I have been, because we take these, the rotation of how we do our rewatches on this, and we take these 3 week spans before we come back around again to the next Torchwood. It's been so long now since I've seen an episode with Reese in it. I'm starved to see Reese.
Fair.
I want my big lummox back.
Yeah, it's been like 2 months, I think.
It's got to be, at least. All right. I think Meat. Meat was the last episode we saw with him in it, I think.
Was it Meat or was it... No, it was Adam was the last one. That came after Meat.
That's right. Which dealt with the aftermath of him now being aware of what Torchwood was up to. Right. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Anyway, this has been episode 411 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, I'm holding out for the Perkins series that they're going to drop, where it's just strictly all Perkins from the Mummy on the Orient Express. I want to see what he's up to.
Oh, Perkins. Yeah. And this is Kier saying, I need some quiet, but I can't be completely out of touch, so I'm not going to go to the Z room. I'll be in, like, the W room.
This is Julie saying, you can find me in the popcorn room.
And this is Haley saying, I have no memory of this place.
We'll see you next week.
Annalise.
Bye.
Bye.
thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Want to keep the conversation going? You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, or just send us a good old-fashioned email to feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com. You can also give us a phone call at 754-225-5477. That's 754-CALL-GPR, and you may hear your voice on a future episode of the show. Everything's got to end sometime, otherwise nothing would ever get started. Join us next week for a brand new episode.
Hi, I'm Jacob Hansen. Gallifrey Public Radio is copyright 2021. We'll see you next week.